Our Pee-wee comes out. This is TFG Unbuttoned.
It's the Focus Group Unbuttoned with Jim Bennett and John Nash, an off-the-cuff take on politics, pop culture, and current events.
Hello, everybody. Jim Bennett here, as always, with my good friend and co-host, Mr. John T. Nash. We are TFG Unbuttoned, a companion podcast to our show. Now in its 16th year, or 17th year, soon in March, John.
Yeah.
Focus Group with Tim Bennett and John Nash. Learn all about us at focusgroupradio.com. And while you're there, you'll also see some of our partners in the on the homepage. Be sure to click on them and enjoy some of the offerings they have, including Critics' Choice Video, who have been with us here on TFG Unbuttoned since we've started. So how are you doing, Mr. Nash? Did you watch any football over the weekend?
Nine. No, I didn't watch any football. I do know, though, the two teams that are advancing, which is kind of a rematch from 3 years ago, right?
Yeah. So down here, of course, because of Delaware, and the proximity we had, you know, Baltimore, everybody was tuned up about last week, but they didn't. They got beat by Buffalo. So then it was Washington and Philly, which the D.C. and Philly crowd down here in town and Rehoboth was it was kind of fun and exciting, but I stayed in and watched it and enjoyed the game. And you're right. So the Super Bowl will be Kansas City and the Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles, on February 9th. And you and I used to do a special Super Bowl show and talk about advertising, but the advertising doesn't seem to be a big deal anymore, as everybody just kind of releases it whenever they want, right?
All right. So that was going to be a question of mine, and I've been trying to pay attention to this for a while, but we are so close to it, and you and I get ad week and we get all the trades. I'm not seeing anything about it. Are you?
No, very little. They were talking about some brands that were in and some brands that were out, particularly auto, which would spend big, and beverages. But usually you would hear about, you know, the Budweiser horses or whatever their latest gimmick was, or some new car launch or something, you know, spectacular some auto brand was going to do. But no, it seems very quiet. And I've tried reading some, as you said, some of the trades, and seems lackluster, nothing too exciting. But you and I saw this coming a number of years ago when people time shifted media, and then people started releasing their Super Bowl commercials earlier. So you really didn't, if you weren't a fan of the games, but you still watched because you wanted to see, as you used to call it, the game within the game of the ad game.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that now because people release them earlier, or you can just download them from social media somewhere.
I just tapped into search bar Super Bowl advertisers 2025. A couple of stories came up. One says Matthew McConaughey is unrecognizable in Uber Eats' Super Bowl 2025 ad teaser. Here's another headline from Forbes. From Martha Stewart to Doja Cat, these Super Bowl commercials will have the biggest stars. So, but I had to look for it. Normally this would used to occupy my feed, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So.
And the reason
Martha
that
Stewart, I wonder what she's doing this time.
I don't know. Well, let's see here. Let me see if I can tell you what she's doing. They're talking about some of the ad. This is I'm looking at Forbes magazine
right
now. Let's see.
She did Skechers 1 year, and then she did something else.
Apparently,
with Snoop
she's
Dogg.
Doing something with Uber Eats.
she don't miss it. She don't miss a dime. She if there's a penny, she'll find it. She's doing Uber Eats.
It's Charlie XCX and Martha Stewart. Actor Timothy Simmons, best known for his role in Veep, will star in a Coors Light ad. Antonio Banderas is doing a commercial for Bosch, B-O-S-C-H, with an actor portraying the late WWE star Randy Savage. Drew Barrymore and actor Orlando Bloom will star in the first ever Super Bowl commercial for MSC Cruises. Chris Hemsworth and Chris Pratt will advertise Meta's smart glasses. I'm bored already, by the way.
Smart glasses? What are those? Are those like those?
They look like Oakley's sunglasses,
virtual
a little bulkier.
Things?
Yeah, but they have some kind of lens thing that projects something in front of you, like a little piece of information or something. Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal are doing a Hellman's Mayonnaise ad. They're reenacting When Harry Met Sally. Woo, how original. Boy, Tim. David Beckham is doing Stella Artois. Post Malone and Shane Gillis are for Bud Light. William Dafoe, Catherine O'Hara, and a bunch of other people are for Michelob Ultra. Doja Cat's Taco Bell. And it goes on. Peyton Manning and Eli Manning are doing a game, the kickoff for Destiny 3.
The other thing is, I don't know who's performing. I don't even know who's performing. The halftime show. Usually that's a big deal as well, but I guess it's not Dolly Parton.
No. It says here that it's Kendrick Lamar headlines the lineup. Are they doing more than one big act? Is that the deal?
Sounds like it if he's, yeah. Who knows? I don't know. I don't, I'll watch the Super Bowl, of course, but everybody,
wait, really?
Nobody,
I mean, like, I'm
oh
not
yeah,
even...
no, I'll watch it. I'll watch it, but, and I'll watch it because the Eagles and, but I, the halftime show, they never live up to the hype because you can't satisfy everybody. It's either it's too hip hop or it's too old school or it's too country or it's too slutty or it's too, you know, whatever. You know, it's not like the old days when they had Up With People that came out to sing. And I think one year they had Carol Channing was the entertainment.
Can't imagine her, right?
Yeah, so you understand. But
yeah, so it says here that Kendrick Lamar wants his Super Bowl halftime show to be a reminder about rap music and its overall impact on the music world. So I think that he was part of a broader Super Bowl halftime show back a few years ago, Super Bowl 59. No, wait. Super Bowl 57, he was part of a bunch of rappers that came on stage. This time, I think he is the halftime show. But again, I remember you and I can go back 10 or 15 years when this was the buzz around Super Bowl started about a month in advance, and it was all about who's doing what, who had a teaser spot. And then YouTube come, well, you and I have said this before, it was the showing the ads before the actual game and doing the teaser ads and all this, like there's the 30 second, the 90 second, the minute and a half. And it, how, you know, how much attention is a consumer supposed to pay to this? How much do we have to care? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and if your team's not in, but people still will watch just for the spectacle of it. It's the last America's, as they used to say, America's last great campfire. It's the only thing that's on that's appointment TV that people will make time for, because otherwise you could just watch it another time.
Yeah.
So, hey, so we've got how Unbutton works is we have three stories that we pick and we go through and stories that you may know or you may not know, or it's our take on them. So the first one is related to pride flags and Black Lives Matter flags. And of course, a new administration. So the headline is Donald Trump bans pride flags at U.S. embassies. President Trump's State Department has enacted a one flag policy, banning U.S. embassies and overseas missions from flying pride or Black Lives Matter flags. This was per the Washington Free Beacon. The actual directive is starting immediately. Only the United States of America flag is authorized to be flown or displayed at U.S. facilities, both domestic and abroad, and featured in U.S. government content. So this was, of course, signed off on by the new Secretary of State, Marco Rubio. So as in years past, when we used to have rainbow flag during June or Black Lives Matter flag in February, whatever, at various embassies and federal installations. No, it's not going to happen anymore. Now, apparently this was the most pressing issue. I'm still waiting for eggs to go down and gas and drill baby drill, but we're worried about flags on government installations.
I read this and there are only two other flags that are actually allowed to be flown. And that would be the prisoner of war missing in action, which was officially recognized as a national symbol by Congress in 1990. And we know what that one looks like. And the hostage and wrongful detainee flag adopted in 2023 with the support of then Senator Marco Rubio. I agree with you. It's like, wow, such a pressing issue to get that piece of cloth that flaps in the wind off the pole. I mean, it just, But again, this is all the performative stuff, right? It's let's make it look a certain way, even though it's not, right? Flying the pride flag was merely a way for the government and these buildings or the embassies to basically say, you know, we have a very diverse group of citizens and we support them during different times of the year with a piece of fabric.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, I think you're exactly right. And there were certain things. I think it was also a little bit of a poking, right? Because they talked about the embassy in Moscow, for instance, who yeah. has lots of anti-LGBTQ legislation. Our embassy there would put up the pride flag in June, as would many of the other G7 nations would do the same thing, just to kind of let the Russian citizens know that there's another way out there. So some of it is, you know, these symbols certainly do other things, particularly to populations in those countries. And they mentioned a few other countries, Brazil, and I believe there was a couple of other places where they mentioned where we will put flags up just to, you know, make a statement. But that's no more. Yeah. What I don't understand about all of this, though, is kind of the whiplash of it, right? The craziness of one president's in, one president's out, one president's in, and kind of, I don't remember this until just recently, of this whiplash of one coming in and undoing what the other's done.
Oh, did you watch CBS Sunday Morning?
I know I did not.
Ah, okay, because they had a whole thing, Bob Costas was on, and he did a whole piece about executive orders and how it's basically like the seesaw in a children's playground. Up yeah. and down. You come in, I'm going to wipe out what you did. The next administration comes in, I'm going to wipe out what you did. And he said the only durability to any of this is an act of Congress.
Right.
He said, but, and he shrugs on a camera and he goes, but Congress doesn't really get a lot done. So that's what they, so this, they have a wiggle room with these executive orders, and they certainly use it. And a lot of it's performative. A lot of it is like, so someone on like a pro-Trump social media post, I'm just smiling away. Trump has had it right all along and the rest of us. America the Beautiful, the country I love is back. It never went anywhere. See, this is the thing that I still scratch my head about. We live in one of the most, you know, the coolest countries in the world from a whole different points of view. And yeah, there are problems, but there are problems everywhere. But it didn't go anywhere, at least not to my... And I don't think that putting up a pride flag is sending America to the dumpster, but I guess it depends on your point of view and how educated you are. Dare I say that?
Well, education is king or key, as you know, but I think that that's a whole different... We could have a whole show on just that about our education system and the overhaul that it needs in general. But yeah, so anyway, they don't expect to see any pride flags in front of the White House this year.
No. No.
Or, you know, I wonder how they're going to handle, this will be interesting, because World Pride this year is in Washington, D.C.
Well, that's going to be interesting to see what happens there, right?
You know what I would do? I would do what they did with Trump. If I were the organizers of this, I would do those gobies, you know, those lights, just shine them on the buildings.
Oh, gobo. They call it a gobo.
Our second story here, and this one was a surprise to me because, about Christmas time, we talked about Pee Wee Herman, and John and I had a sidebar, and I was like, you know, is he gay? And John's like, I don't know. And so this story came up. John had found this. The headline is Pee Wee Herman star Paul Reubens comes out as gay in a posthumous documentary, Self-Hatred or Self-Preservation. So it says Paul Reubens is sharing his truth from beyond the grave in this new documentary, which premiered Thursday, January 23rd at the Sundance Film Festival. The comedian came out as gay after concealing his sexuality for the entirety of his career. And this is from the New York Post. And apparently he had a friend or a partner named Guy who had sadly passed away of HIV AIDS. But he had said that he was out of the closet, but when this character took off and Pee Wee Herman became kind of this pop culture phenomena, he went back in the closet to, I guess, protect Pee Wee Herman's image. I don't know how, if you read it the same way I did.
So I ended up going to YouTube and I found a 10 or 12 minute interview with the director of this documentary called Pee Wee as Himself. It's supposed to land on HBO. I think it might be HBO sometime in February, or it's going to be released that time, but it's currently at the Sundance Film Festival. And the director said he had a relationship with Pee-wee Herman. Now, the director himself was gay. They've known each other for many years, and Pee-wee, or Paul Reubens, wanted to do a documentary, wasn't sure how to approach it, knew that he couldn't be the documentarian per se because he's the subject. But what they what he talked about in this interview was this idea that Paul Reubens was a person and Pee-wee was a person, and that when the Pee-wee character took off, Paul Reubens made the gut-wrenching decision, I suppose, to just really suppress his private life because that character, you know, was the meat and potatoes. And he also said in this document, this teaser for the documentary, that prior to the Pee-wee Herman show and prior to him launching the Pee-wee character at a comedy club in Los Angeles, I think years ago, well, before the show, that he was very adept at doing characters in general. Like he had all these different acts he could do and voices and stuff like that. And then Pee-wee came along and that was the hit and that was the gravy train. And, you know, I don't know that the director didn't talk too much about was there a regret or not, but there was a very real notion that for Pee-wee to succeed, especially with the Saturday morning children's show, Pee-wee needed to be free and clear of any back chatter and controversy or someone digging into his past to figure out who he was or who he slept with. So I think it's an interesting, the subhead of the title that, or the article that Tim read said, self-hatred or self-preservation. When you listen to the director talk about the process, I kind of think it might have been self-preservation.
Right. Well, he died in 2023 of cancer, which he also kept from everybody and was private. But I thought, considering Hollywood, he really did a great job of just not having that come into the conversation, right? I mean, that was correct. Never, or maybe people just had assumed he was and just left it at that. But I remember when he got caught, what was it, in the 90s or 80s or 90s, when he got caught in that adult theater. But I thought that was at least as it was reported, I thought it was is there such thing as a straight adult theater? But that he was watching a straight porn film when he got caught by the police or whatever undercover. But maybe I'm mistaken with that. But I that was the only thing I ever heard of from his sexuality, similar to George Michael from Wham when he got caught.
Yeah. And, did a song about it. Let's go outside.
Yeah. you know, you remember when he got caught in the theater.
Yeah, I did.
But again, it didn't. There was no inkling or no discussion about his sexuality. So. Kind of sad, but in many ways, as you said, as you watched this, it was self-preservation and protecting that character, which was his bread and butter. And it was a different time. I mean, people forget what the 80s,
yes,
late 80s,
and, you know, and 90s. Tim, you and I are talking about this with people now. It's hard to quantify this because, you know, age does that rose-colored glass thing where you're like, oh, it wasn't so bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
You know? Being out could ruin your career. That's all you have to say, right?
Yeah. The final story here, I laughed because I was wondering whether you were going to head over there to the New York Botanic Garden. But visitors flock to New York Botanic Garden for a whiff of a flower that smells like a rotting corpse. So this is visitors to the Brooklyn Botanic Garden have pulled out their phones to snap pictures of the rare blooming plant before leaning in to brave a whiff of its infamously putrid scent, which resembles that of rotting flesh. Other people say it smells like feet, cheese, or rotten meat in the worst possible combination. This is the rare Amorphous gigas, a relative of the Amorphous.
I'm surprised you're trying this at all. Just call it what they call it, the corpse flower.
The corpse flower. It reminded me of a Dennis the Menace episode. Apparently only blooms once in a while. So this is the first time it's bloomed since 2018, it's native to Sumatra. And there was another one, I guess, over in Australia that's blooming too.
At the same time,
Is it at the same time? So, you know, it's one of those things where somebody tells you, don't do it, don't do it. It smells gross, but you got to do it for yourself, right?
Yeah.
So would you go see this thing? I guess it's probably already done.
I would if the line wasn't 3 hours long.
Oh, is that how long it was?
Yeah, it says people are waiting online for 3 hours. And then the thing they show people taking a picture of the flower. So here's an experience that's completely driven by scent, right? And they show this picture of all the smartphones up taking a picture of the flower. I wouldn't even bother taking a picture of it. Maybe to remind you that you had the stinky flower experience. But I mean, it's just so typical of our culture these days. Like, let's go have an experience and photograph it or whatever. You can't. And the fact that there's a 3-hour line, I'm just like, okay, maybe that was a weekend long thing, but that's,
No, that's too long. That's too long. Wow. You remind me of those ginkgo, you know, the ginkgo trees that drop those berries in the fall. And there was a whole area of Philadelphia where a lot of the, a lot of people, particularly a lot of Asian people would come collect them because they would make, you know, boil them and use the nuts inside. But boy, they used to stink. The whole, you know, those ginkgo trees smell like poop, dog poop.
So I'm going to try. I think you pronounce this Amorphophallus titanum. Does that sound right?
Amorphophallus. I was. What did I say? Amorphophallus.
Yeah, Amorphophallus titanum.
Yeah. Amorphophallus titanum. Yeah, that's it. Corpse flower, as you said.
The stinky flower. All right, folks, thanks for joining us here on TFG Unbuttoned. We want to thank our partner in crime. Well, not really crime, but it's a crime to skip over going to visit them. That's for sure. It's a Critics' Choice Video, America's classic movie and TV authority since 1987. You can get there by visiting our site, focusgroupradio.com, and clicking on the Critics' Choice Video logo and start your shopping spree. They have everything you need, from books to TV shows to movies. You could request a catalog, which I'm always happy to do. I love getting a catalog. Check out the Focus Group, which airs on Wednesdays in video form over on our YouTube channel, and will drop into your audio stream of choice on Saturday along with TFG Unbuttoned. And again, have a really great week, and we'll see you again here next time on TFG Unbuttoned.
It's the Focus Group Unbuttoned with Tim Bennett and John Nash, available every Tuesday. Learn more about Tim and John, Unbuttoned, and all of the Focus Group platforms at focusgroupradio.com.